You're listening to the Chancellor Pink Podcast on Chancellor Pink Radio. I really have been thinking lately about what is the value of other people's opinions about you. In other words, we live our lives day to day, and we, of course, form our own opinions about ourselves. You know, we learn what we're good at, what we believe we're good at, what our weaknesses are, what our strengths are. But how do we learn that? Think about it. In school, right? And from family members praising us, right? And from giving us grades. And from what? Friends, right? If you make friends, if you can make people laugh, right? So we begin to develop a belief about ourselves only by the response of others to us. You know, and this has just been making me think long and hard, because I'm like, everybody says, don't worry about the opinions of others and don't let it get to you. And you're supposed to know who you are. But I think the reason so many children that grow up without parents or with lousy parents are so fucked up all of their lives is because they didn't get that feedback that was necessary at the early stages for them to really develop a self-image. You know, I think that some of them do through other relatives or maybe teachers. You know, that when we talk about children needing role models, I think what they need more than role models is mirrors, you know, reflectors, of commentators, judges, I mean, assessors, and they don't even have to like them. And the point isn't, you know, we don't get to choose our family. We don't get to choose our parents. We often don't get to choose our friends. I never did. I just, the people that gravitated towards me, the ones I wanted to be friends with, never wanted anything to do with me, you know? So what I think it is not so much that it's good or that people love us. I know there's been a lot made of that. Children need loved and all that. I don't know that that's true. I think that can ruin children if they get too much of that, too much coddling. But what they need is assessed. And certainly if they get assessed too harshly and too critically, that can absolutely ruin them too and decrease their self-image. But my point is, what if they have none, you know? What if they have no response? What if nobody's giving them feedback? Then they're fucked. Then they're royally fucked. You know, and I think what we have with the problem that we face a lot with children is that too many of them that grow up with bad parents or absentee parents or adoptive parents that suck or whatever really get none, very limited. Some, it might be some of it loving and good. It might be some of it shitty, but I don't think there's enough of it, you know? And I think when you grow up without feedback, good or bad, you grow up without an identity and you grow up rudderless and you grow up kind of fucked up. And I think you're more likely to become sociopathic and everything else because you don't have a moral compass, because people haven't helped you shape your own understanding of who you are by telling you what they think of you. And why I'm saying all this is I'm tired of our culture acting like it doesn't matter what people think of you. To me, it's everything. I mean, how can you really understand who you are unless you get reaction and feedback? You can't. You could think you're the greatest singer in the world. You could, and I've seen people. There was this one guy that would call into the sports talk show, Karaoke Steve or Karaoke Tim. He was the most awful singer in the world. But somewhere along the line, people pretended he was okay, and he would join karaoke contests. And he was legitimately delusional. He was 100% serious. He wasn't a comedy act. And he would sing on the air, and everybody humored him because it was so stupid, because he was so awful. But I always cringed. I always cringed when he would call in, and I always cringed when they would have fun with that, because I didn't think it was funny. And now I'm realizing why. Because he got a wrong idea about something, that thinking he's good at something he's awful at, and that's it. It's in his brain forever. No one will ever be able to convince Karaoke Steve or Tim or whatever the fuck his name was that he can't sing. No one, it'll never happen. Because someone at some point in his life convinced him he was okay. Or maybe he convinced himself. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, is you could hear someone and you could have said, oh, Lady Gaga, that's quality singing. Oh, you know, Simon and Garfunkel, that's nice melodies. Those are nice harmonies. And then you sing and you're like, I'm a little off, but I can work on that. And you're really like, winter's day in a deep and dark December. You know? I am a rock. I am an island. Damn, it was so close. That was almost perfect. I'll just keep working on it a little and then wait till they hear me at karaoke. I mean, you could have that impression of yourself, right? If you don't know the difference between good singing and bad singing. Who's to say you do just because you grew up listening to music? Your ear towards yourself might be fucked up, right? So what I'm saying is, and that's very true, it happens. I've had many people over the course of my life tell me, oh, I sing too. And they sing, and it's not that bad like I just did, but it's pretty bad. Yet somehow they think they can sing good, and it's pretty bad. You know, the only reason I know I can sing good is that I hated my singing for a long time, and yet kept trying because I wanted to sing. Since I was a little boy, I wanted to sing, but I wasn't any good. It was okay. I mean, look, I got it genetically a little bit. My dad sung in the choir. My dad, you know, in church was in the church choir. So he did singing. I grew up in church standing next to him, hearing him sing. And he was a pretty good singer. So I had it in me. But it still wasn't very good at first. You have to work on it. And the way you work on it is you listen. You listen. No, no. And you record it and you criticize yourself, right? And also feedback. You're not going to keep trying if people tell you you can't sing. If you think you can sing, but too many people that you keep testing who you respect, people you know, tell you you're no good, you're not going to keep trying, nor should you. That's my point. My point is, who are we trying to kid? We need other people to affirm us, to understand who we are, and to have the confidence to continue being who we think we are and who we think we should be. And when people no longer support us or affirm us or tell us we're good at what we're trying to be, we lose faith in ourselves. We lose faith in who we thought we were. And this never stops. We talk about children all the time. We are concerned with children. We're concerned with protecting them and their nurturing and their growth. But when they turn 22 or 18 even, we cut them loose and we treat them like shit. And the point is, I'm 52. I still need as much affirmation as a 15-year-old kid sometimes. Because no matter how much I think I believe in myself from the years of having the courage to try things and having success affirmed by others, no matter how much that has led me to believe I'm good at X, Y, or Z and has instilled in me a sense of identity, it can all disappear over time, you know. Here's a case in point, not to get too psychoanalytical or self-indulgent on my own podcast, but hey, it's my podcast. I can do what I want with it. You're free to go. There's the door. See ya, don't let it hit your butt on the way out. But what I wanted to suggest is, with me personally, you know, I always believed I was a good guy. Now, where did I get that idea, right? Don't you think most people think they're good? Most people probably think they're good as children, even when they do bad things. I watch my cat. He gets into trouble. He knows areas I've told him, no, don't go there. And he does it. But he doesn't. I can tell when I yell at him, when I get mad, he doesn't get it. He still thinks he's good. He's just curious and loses track and forgets, you know? He's trying to be good. Then other times he's so good and I'm like, oh, you're such a good boy. And he's happy because he's being good, but he thinks he's being good all the time, you know? Even when he gets agitated and jumps around, they're not trying to be bad, you know? And I feel that way about most children and most people. Most people, when they get angry, they're just reacting. They're not trying to be bad. Even if they do a bad thing, they regret it because they knew it was an instinctual thing. Then, no, believe me, I know. There are a lot of people out there, maybe even more than half the fucking people, that intentionally plot to do bad things and do them all the time. Or at least work them into their schedule. There is a problem with bad behavior. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, for the most part, even those people rationalize that shit away and think they're good. So what I'm saying is, yeah, people can think they're good, But how do you really believe you're good? The only way you can really believe you're a good person is because other people tell you you are. Other people believe in you. Other people appraise you as a good person. You know? That's what does it. Then you just begin to live that way. And so I used to believe I was a good man, a good boy. I believed I was a good boy. Why? I remember once when I was in first grade, I remember it distinctly. My teacher was Mrs. Kilmer, K-I-L-M-E-R. She was this tall lady that kind of had a really short bob haircut. She was real skinny, and she kind of held a deeper voice. She sort of reminded me of, like, if you took the beard off Abraham Lincoln and gave him a sex change operation. That's what I thought. But she was so nice. She was strict and serious, but very nice. This was first grade. And I remember once when we had, homeroom. What is it when the parents come? You know, parent night or parent day, parent-teacher conferences. But here it was, the parents come into the classroom and the teachers talk to you and they bring you with them, or you bring them with them. And I was real excited. I was real happy that my mom away from home, Mrs. Kilmer, got to meet my actual mom. You know, these were the two most important women in my life. You know, my mom was my mom and I loved her very much. But Mrs. Kilmer was responsible for me 5 days a week, you know, for a lot of hours of the day. And we got along. She really liked me. And I did really good work. And when she had a chance to talk to my mom right there in front of me, she told her I was her number one student. I was the best kid in the class. And my mom mentioned that numerous times. I think she mentioned it to my dad that night, and she brought it up a couple other times. My mom was super impressed with the report she got in person from Mrs. Kilmer. That experience of hearing her say those words to my mom, having my mom, you know, reaffirm what Mrs. Kilmer said, that really had an important effect on me, because it made me believe I am a good boy. I'm doing the right thing. I'm trying to please Mrs. Kilmer, and I'm pleasing her, and she's pleased so much. She's telling my mom that she's pleased, and my mom is pleased that she's pleased. Now, where in that equation do you see do it all yourself, believe in yourself, fuck what people think of you? Where in that equation is it irrelevant whether or not you're liked, disliked, criticized, whatever? Where? Show me exactly where in that whole event that I just recounted Mrs. Kilmer doesn't matter or my mom doesn't matter, or I can love myself and think I'm great without those two. You're not going to find it. You know, because it's one thing to think you're doing good and to believe in yourself, but if no one else is seeing it, you're going to lose faith. You know why? Because it's very possible you're wrong. That's why. Because if other people are ignoring you, if other people don't see what you're doing as worth anything, then it might not be worth anything. You might be delusional. Or maybe it's worth something, but not enough for anyone else to give a fuck. And then what? So I used to think I was a good guy, but then I got divorced, and then I tried to date people. And now here I am at 52, and I don't have many friends. And so again, I don't want to get into psychoanalysis here. I'm not trying to make this about me. I'm not on the couch. This is a podcast. I'm talking to you about you. If you can't hear you and the things I say on this podcast, turn it the fuck off. I'm not making these podcasts as a form of, you know, mental masturbation, self-indulgence, okay? If you thought that about it, turn it the fuck off and unsubscribe. If that's what you think of these podcasts, why are you listening? You think it's like a train wreck? You're turning your head and checking an accident on the road. You think my podcasts are an accident? Well, turn them the fuck off then, please. I don't want you listening. Okay. This is a podcast for you. Why do I think that my thoughts have worth for you to hear that you might benefit? Because somewhere along the course of my life, people made me feel that way about myself. And as I said in my first podcast, I started this because one of my sons told me I should do a podcast. After I did one of my podcasts, my father, who's still alive, thank God, told me, "You're great at this. This is what you were made for." Those types of things matter, you know? So I think that I am worth a podcast because I have been told and shown through my life at various times that I have important things to say that can benefit others if they're heard. That's why. But back to the question of whether or not I'm a good person, you know, whether or not I have something worthwhile to offer the world doesn't have anything to do with the latter. And I don't know that I'm a good person anymore because I haven't had anybody really like me in a long time. I haven't had a woman choose me in a long time. And I have a hunch. The reason, you know, people's gender identity and sexual preference and all that is so controversial and important. Well, it's so controversial because it's so important. And it's so important because it relates to who we partner with. Now, you might find self-worth from sex, but that's really superficial because people could say, shut up, stop talking, and have sex with you anyway. So it really doesn't reflect on just because you look good enough to have sex with. That doesn't really provide you with affirmation of what kind of person you are. The only real way to get an affirmation that you're a worthwhile person and a good person and a likable person is to have people want to be with you. And sure, if it's a gender of your choice and there's attraction, you'd also like them to want to fuck you. That goes hand in hand. That makes it even better, sure. But it's most important to have people like friends or family or a partner who values you enough to choose to be in your presence and wants to be with you. That's how we know we have value as people. And without that, we lose that sense of worth. We lose that identity. We start to forget who we are. And so what I wanted to put out here in this podcast is the concept of the reason it's important not to be too isolative. The reason it's important not to be too self-sufficient. The reason it's important not to think I am a rock, I am an island, and live that way is because no matter how much you convince yourself you know who you are, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how right you think you are, no matter how true you think you are, at the end of the day, as time goes on, if there's nobody standing by you, you're wrong. The affirmation of others tells you the truth about whatever good you believe about yourself. And that's hard to admit. And there are probably a lot of therapists out there and a lot of other people that would say that's a terrible thing to say to people. Because then you're making their whole self-image dependent upon the opinions of others. And that's terrible, isn't it? Isn't it? Is it? I don't think it is. I think it's reality. I think we can try. I think we are trying to explain away with hocus pocus bullshit the reality that we are only as strong in ourselves as the people around us tell us we are worth being strong about. We are only as good as we are affirmed to be by the other people. Okay? That's why there's a God too, by the way. That's a complete aside, crazy aside, but you know, what is the universe but something that has to be affirmed by some other entity? You know, in my opinion, all of life and all of existence is something that is reaffirmed. The sun and rain reaffirm the grass, make it grow, the flowers, okay? On and on. The spider and its web reaffirms the existence of the fly's value by killing it and eating it. You understand? We have value in how we are affirmed by other life forms. And in the case of humans, you know, we fail miserably at affirming each other. All we do is make each other feel more and more worthless, it seems. We're really good these days at making each other feel disliked, not like we're bad people, like we're not worth anything. And I think we need to realize that as much as you need to realize that your worth, your value, your identity, your very identity is absolutely determined by everybody else. Because no matter what you think, if no one else agrees with you, you're wrong. You're wrong. If nobody laughs at your jokes, but you think you're the most hysterical person in the world, You're wrong. If nobody wants to hear your singing, but you think you have a great singing voice, you're wrong. And if you think you're a great guy, but nobody wants to choose you to be their guy, then you're wrong. I love you. Yabba da boopa.